On the second Saturday in May, letter carriers around the country were picking up more than just mail. They were collecting cans of soup, bags of dried beans, boxes of cereal, and more.
Unfortunately, the need for food is universal.
Pam Donato is the Community and Membership Outreach Coordinator for the National Association of Letter Carriers.
So the food drive was started organically from the grassroots level when letter carriers all around the country independently began to notice the need on their own routes as they walked through the neighborhoods where families did not have enough to eat.
A handful of carriers began what Donato calls rogue food drives in their communities, where they would collect donations from doorsteps to hand out to local food pantries. In 1991, during the biennial National Convention for the Union, the carriers decided to join forces and start a more structured campaign. That year, 10 cities participated in the first one-day drive held in the fall.
They learned after that food drive, A, that the mechanics were good, that they were able to achieve great success and collected several million pounds of food. But they also learned that the food pantries and the food banks were in the fall of the year already receiving many donations from well-intended people that wanted to make sure during the holidays that people in their community had enough.
It's a very good observation she's made. She's right.
Diana Jeska is the director of the Homer Community Food Pantry. She says locally, donations pour in during the holiday months and begin to wane during spring and summer. That's bad news for pantries, which often see an increase in need in the summer months. It's the time when children especially no longer have access to free breakfast and lunch programs at schools. Pantries called on the letter carriers to move their drive from the fall to the spring to boost donations.
So we moved it in 1993, the first ever national food drive, where we had every state participate, and we have not looked back.
Over the last 24 years, the carriers have collected about 1.4 billion pounds of food. In Homer, donations come in both with the carriers and directly to the post office, where they're dropped off in a mail bin in the front lobby.
We've got cans, lots of canned food, pineapples, canned fruits and cereals, some pastas, some crackers maybe, some peanut butter.
Melissa Medeiros is the Homer postmaster. She says the post office is a logical place for people to come together for a drive.
Yeah, I've lived in several small communities and have been a postmaster and in a couple of different small communities. And it is definitely the focal point of the community because everyone needs the mail. I mean, everybody's coming in and out of that building.
She thinks one of the highlights of the drive is that it keeps the donations local.
You know, there's a lot of need in communities, and I think the greatest thing about this is that the food is for our local food pantry here. And at this time of the year, our letter carriers are delivering more than mail. They're delivering hope to a lot of people, which I think is just amazing.
Over at the food pantry, Director Jeska is busily making sure everything gets where it's supposed to go.
So the food comes in, and they usually take it upstairs here. It's quieter up here.
We walk up a narrow staircase to the storage area, where industrial shelves are stacked high with cans. One of the volunteers, Nadia, is separating donations by type.
Yeah, they were really kind. They brought up all these boxes, and then it ends up here, and the people here sort it, and then eventually it'll go out to the people who need it in the main room. But yeah, it was lovely. The whole floor was covered with boxes and bags, and we're still going through it, actually, is what we're doing now.
It will all go to fill the need on the peninsula, which has been steadily on the rise over the last few years. According to Jeska, there was an 18% increase in the number of households needing help from 2014 to 2015. Last year, the pantry served more than 21,000 adults and children from Nanilchik to Nanwalik, averaging about 1,700 people per month. Every month, they distributed about 45 boxes to local seniors and shipped containers across the bay to about 20 families in need. While they purchase about $2,500 of food a month, about 75% of what is distributed comes straight from donations.
People think that when they drive through suburbs or affluent neighborhoods or people that look on the outside of the home as if they have everything under control, that everything is. But I promise you, carriers know the story is different.
Donato worked as a carrier for many years and says she took the responsibility very seriously.
I'm prior military. I'm a veteran. So I believed that a uniform and having the trust of somebody to walk into their yard and visit, you know, their home every day was really a privilege. It made me realize how important that link was.
As a carrier, she saw children grow up, go off to school, get married. She saw older residents retire. She watched her neighborhoods grow and change. But she also dropped off foreclosure notices, bills, sympathy cards during an illness or after a death.
That's what this whole food drive was based on, is this unescapable reality that we're all human beings at our very core and that we all have needs. And if we don't have needs and we're blessed and we have enough, most of us, when we're told of a need someone else has, don't mind at all sharing that thing that we have that somebody else needs more of.
While the Stamp Out Hunger food drive is over for this year, the Homer Food Pantry accepts donations year-round. In Homer, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.